Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and dedicated Bible teacher, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, my love. Honey, please, would you ask for God's blessing?
Abba, Father, we will soon enter into the seasons of lights. We honor and praise you as the creator of all light. Let your countenance be bright over your true church as we lift up to you our most recent prayer request, asking for your favor as we continue in the name of Jesus to render the enemy powerless over our lives, including OSHA's vaccine mandates and President Biden's acts of tyranny. Please soften the hearts of our unsaved loved ones that they will call upon you. We thank you for your many provisions while keeping our burdens minimum. May tonight's teaching be a light bulb that brightens the minds and hearts of those listening. And may you be glorified as we pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, that was a great prayer because for the next few weeks before our December break, we will again be explaining the deeper truths associated with this coming Feast of Lights, Hanukkah, a much more Christian festival than people realize.
Well, definitely some hidden truths in there that pleases God when we dig for them.
Most Christians have no idea just how much it really does please him. Let me expound on that. Remember what Jesus said in Revelation 1, that we, his bride, are now kings and priests in his eyes. Well, in Proverbs 25:2, it says that God purposely, let me repeat, purposely conceals things so we will search for them.
Yeah, and Hanukkah is a huge golden nugget indeed.
Amazingly so. And if you are a newer listener, we can assure you that you will be blessed over the next few weeks. And for those of you who have heard this before, refresh yourselves so you yourself can share it over the next couple of weeks because Hanukkah begins Sunday evening, the 28th at sundown, which is when the first candle is lit.
More on that in a minute. But first, let's update our listeners on some quick headlines.
Well, the biggest and the worst news for us personally right now, besides inflation, are the vaccine mandates, which many states, including Ohio, are fighting.
Sometimes it takes some darkness to amplify the light.
And your prayers are working, for many are waking up, especially since Bill Gates and Dr. Fauci are now admitting the vaccines are not working the way they had hoped for.
Well, the bad news is they say we need the boosters.
I know, right? Evil is as evil does. So they add more bad to already bad.
God help us.
Then, next in line would be the Build Back Better bill. The Dems will try to pass on reconciliation, which means a simple majority in the Senate. Pray as well that at least one Democrat sees the light and responds to it.
Yeah, this bill would really change America drastically.
Just one example in this bill is if you make $500,000 a year, they'll give you another $12,000 as a deposit on an electric car. And it drastically raises the SALT deduction, which, of course, benefits the rich as well. Their agenda is to get rid of fossil fuel so the little guy can't travel. They'll be stuck in the cities, easier to keep track of us, while the rich can still afford to travel in their electric cars and pay the fuel costs to fly their private jets all around the world.
Well, it's called socialism or Marxism.
And if you by now can't see it, well, I guess our listeners do. But our Democratic friends, a few relatives, and some neighbors are just choosing to be blind. Just keep praying that more will wake up, for some are beginning to, as evidenced in Virginia's election.
Quick word on Israel.
Oh, yes. They have finished up a 5-day joint naval security drill with the United States, Bahrain, the UAE, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia in the Red Sea, focusing on search and seizure tactics. So to secure free navigation of the Suez Canal, the ports of Eilat and Aqaba, and safeguard the vital oil and trading route between the region and Europe. This increased cooperation will keep the Red Sea safe and enhance regional stability.
Yeah, because they are dealing with Iranian terror in that region.
Yes, this is all about Iran and its Houthi proxy rebels in Yemen, which borders Saudi Arabia, who is seeing an uptick in ballistic missile attacks. And also notice that none of these countries I just mentioned will join Iran when they attack Israel in the War of Gog and Magog. That, by the way, will not happen until the tribulation.
In that day, Ezekiel 38.
Yeah, it's very plain. And with the many breakthrough cases of COVID, Israel is also pushing the booster shots, as well as children ages 5 through 11 can begin their doses.
Yeah, this is horrific.
And it's everywhere. And now Austria is locking down all unvaccinated people with high fines for violations. And they're using more police to patrol the people to ask for their vaccine cards if they're out on the street. Crazy.
All right, then. You can send your end-time question by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which will automatically put you on our mailing list to receive the paper newsletters. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where everything is also archived.
Okay, let's talk about Hanukkah.
Also called the Lesser Feast of Lights.
Because there is a greater Feast of Lights.
Called Tabernacles 9 months later.
And so every fall season, we explain that feast in detail. But we'll touch on it again next week because both feasts complement each other in a very big way.
Oh, that's an understatement.
And both of these feasts lasts 8 days. And the number 8 stands for eternity.
Which is Jesus' number as well, never ending.
Right. Man is number 6, soon to become a 7, and Jesus will always be an 8. Okay, so there are 7 major feasts and the 2 minor feasts of Hanukkah and Purim, who have a great deal in common in that they both had huge victories over their physical enemies. Purim was over Haman's army with his 10 sons, and Hanukkah over its enemy, Antiochus Epiphanes, and his great army. The Jewish uprising was started by the Hasmonean family of Jews, also called the Maccabees.
Meaning hammer.
Mm-hmm. Which occurred during the intertestament times, but was prophesied to happen much earlier by the prophet Daniel in his 11th chapter.
Yeah, that was a prophetic description of the coming Antiochus Epiphanes.
Who is the type of the Antichrist.
So, first let's set up some Hanukkah background story.
Okay. Well, there have been 6 recognized world empires. Egypt was first, then Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and finally
Rome, who was ruling when Jesus was born.
Yes. And will again when he returns, according to Daniel's prophecies in chapters 2 and 7, as a revived Roman Empire, but this time mixed with clay, which is a symbol for people. In other words, next time the people will welcome Rome, but will not adhere for very long.
For sure, not more than 7 years.
Amen. But let's go back one empire to the Greek Empire of Alexander the Great.
Who had done it all, but died from alcoholism at only 33.
Mm-hmm. And so they had to divide his huge empire into 4 sections amongst his 4 generals, because all of Alex's posterity had been murdered.
Also fulfilling Daniel's previous prophecy in chapter 11, verse 4.
Yep, it's right there in scripture. Anyhow, we wanted to focus on the northeast area of the 4 divisions, which were Babylon, Syria, Lebanon, and Israel in the northeast area, and all under the leadership of the Greek Seleucids from Syria.
So, looks like a crescent on a map.
Yes. So, around the year 175 BC, King Seleucus IV was poisoned by his own top minister, Heliodorus, because he wanted to be king. However, the now dead king had a distant brother, Antiochus IV, living in, by the way, guess where?
He grew up in Rome.
Yes, as a child, he was given to Rome as security insurance by their father so that the Seleucid dynasty would stay loyal to Rome and pay its promised taxes in exchange for freedom to rule on its own. Just before the king's assassination, the king told Heliodorus that he truly loved and missed his brother, so much so that he did make a deal with Rome to exchange his own son, Demetrius, so Antiochus could finally come home. Therefore, the king ordered Heliodorus to go to Rome with payment money and Demetrius. But remember, Heliodorus wanted to be king.
Yes, so he killed the king and never went to Rome.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he became king. But still, Rome released Antiochus, who promised Rome the ransom money and another family member to hold.
With a continued promise to stay allied with Rome.
For sure. So now Israel, a part of the Northeast Division, was ruled by basically a Roman Emperor Antiochus.
Better known to us as Antiochus Epiphanes.
A name he himself chose because Epiphanes means God manifest, indicating his utmost abominable arrogance.
So essentially, he was calling himself God.
Yep. Now, later on, the people called him Epimanus, which means madman, in response to his cruelty. So he is a type of the Antichrist, who was raised and residing in Rome when called to return to his district to be king. So essentially, he was a Roman with Greek ancestry.
So his ancestors were not Syrian or Arab.
Correct. And we point that out because many, they still want to say the Antichrist is going to be a Muslim, even though Daniel 9:28 says he will be from the same peoples who destroyed the temple after Jesus was cut off. So therefore, the Antichrist must at least have a strong connection to Rome.
But does not have to be born there.
Right, as in the typology of Antiochus Epiphanes. And as we have said often, we believe many things will revert back to the time of when Jesus walked.
As in there will also be a Jewish temple.
Yes, and animal sacrifices, because the Jews are still looking for their Messiah.
Interesting that America was not known at that time either.
That's right. Once again, check out Jeremiah 30:11. Anyhow, Antiochus IV, he was very charismatic and came in peacefully and with much flattery.
Also prophesied in Daniel 11:21.
Yes, he even paid all the back taxes for Syria and the surrounding Roman provinces that were beginning to gain more power. Now, others were vying for the rulership of this district, but Antiochus Epiphanes attained it because everyone liked him, and they certainly liked his style.
And the people will love the coming Antichrist, who will be the world leader as well.
Yeah, the iron and the clay will mix for a short time, but will not adhere for very long. So, Antiochus, as will the Antichrist, made a treaty with Israel's leader, who then was the high priest Jason, only to break it a few years later, as was also prophesied by Daniel 11:23, decades before Antiochus came on the scene. So, because of that, Antiochus appointed Menelaus as the new high priest.
Wasn't he a Hellenizer?
I believe so, which is actually a Greek converting to Judaism.
In name only, of course.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like our rhinos today. Anyway, Jason wanted his title of high priest back. So his army, while Antiochus was away invading Egypt, fought Menelaus to recapture his position. And this infuriated Antiochus when he found out, so he quickly returned to Jerusalem and in 169 B.C. went on a rampage and slew 40,000 Jews.
And sold many more into slavery.
He also made the ultimate abomination by putting his own face on the statue of Zeus and placed it in their temple and declared himself God, demanding everyone's worship, killing anyone caught reading the Torah or keeping any Jewish law, including circumcision.
He even forced them to eat pork.
Mm-hmm. And boiled pig's flesh and sprinkled its broth throughout the temple and offered swine on the altar.
And stole the temple's sacred vessels.
So, stopping their worship. Later, Jesus himself refers to Daniel's writings and confirms Antiochus Epiphanes' abomination as a typology for the end days in Matthew 24:15.
Saying the Jews will experience this again.
Yes, as prophesied in Daniel 9 and Daniel 12.
Along with Antichrist's destruction.
As foretold in Revelation 19 as well.
So, how did his reign finally end?
Well, here's where the story about Hanukkah takes root. Many very scared Jews gave in and even assimilated into Greek culture. And many even worshipped the idol to escape their death. Yet a remnant held strong, for which they underwent great torments like whippings that would tear their bodies to pieces and much more horrendous torture. And that's according to the first century historian Josephus. Finally, Mattathias from the priestly tribe with his five sons from the family of Hashmon rebelled and started the first war for religious freedom, a heroic revolt, killing many, even a fellow Jew, because they caught him worshiping at the pagan statue, along with killing the emperor's commissioner who was overseeing it.
Why would they kill one of their own instead of just rescuing him?
Well, because though the Jews were forced, the Maccabees felt the Hebrews should have gone to their death before worshiping a false god. And that would apply to us today as well. And very soon, those new believers in the tribulation, well, they're going to have to choose whom they will serve or die.
And most will, according to Revelation 6.
Anyhow, obviously, God gave the Maccabees much wisdom, courageous strength, and a lot of chutzpah. Anyhow, they moved quickly to form their army by fleeing to the hill country along with anyone willing to join for training to become guerrilla fighters. Mattathias, their father, who was very old by this time, actually died in the first year of the Maccabean revolt. Therefore, was succeeded by his son Judah. Well, what a name! And of course, a type of Jesus. And he was known as the Maccabee, meaning hammer, for he had to be like a hammer, because Antiochus's army was considered, well, the mightiest in the world, certainly at that time. Anyhow, the Maccabeans, as you know the story, were victorious. They ousted the evil king and his army, just as Jesus will conquer the Antichrist army when he returns, Revelation 19. After that, Antiochus was called Antiochus Epimanus, meaning madman, for he soon became literally insane and died. Of course, the Jews were elated over their miraculous defeat, but that is not the real reason for Hanukkah. For their joy soon turned to bitterness when they saw the temple's abomination. It had to look awful. But they got right to work, and by the 25th of Kislew on the Hebrew calendar in 165 B.C., which, by the way, this year is November 28th at sundown, the temple was finally cleansed and ready to be rededicated. However, when it came time to light the seven-branched menorah, which, by the way, Scripture demands must remain lit all the time in the temple. Well, after they cleaned it all up, they could only find a small flask of the undefiled processed olive oil, enough for one day only. Well, this special consecrated oil, which is described in Exodus 27, it would actually take at least a week to process, because it had to be hand-beaten pressed olives without the use of heat. We still use that today. It's actually called cold-pressed, and it's much better for you. Anyhow, here's the real miracle of Hanukkah. That lighted menorah amazingly stayed lit for 8 days till they could finish processing the oil. Now remember, it was only supposed to last one day. So it's in memory of that miracle and the rededication of the temple that most Jews everywhere today light a consecutive daily candle on an 8+1 9-branched candlestick holder. The middle light was called the servant candle to light the others from right to left every sundown for 8 nights. And this candle is actually called a Hanukkah candle. And I hope that Christians, now that you know the real story and will know more next week, that you'll do the same. Which we'll pick up on that bigger miracle next week. And again, it's all surrounding Hanukkah. So, again, let me encourage you to purchase a Hanukkah candle. And some of them are now actually electric, where you can just have a little, one of those small lights that you put in and just each night add an extra light. Those are kind of easy. But either way, you should begin lighting your candle in the evening beginning Sunday, November 28th. Remember, at sundown is when the next day starts for them. So that's when we start lighting the candle. And then say a prayer with your children or your grandchildren about how blessed we are to know Yeshua and to know that He is our real light of the world. And this is a great way to teach your children and your grandchildren about Jesus being the real light, not just on a Christmas tree. But again, we'll have much more on all this next week. So again, tell a friend to tune in. But what's really important is that you be able to share this information with others. That's what it's all about. And it'll bring you an extra diamond in your crown, I can tell you that. The more you share, the more it pleases God. And in Malachi 3:16, it explains how that book of remembrance is in heaven, and it's written down every single time you talk about the Lord. And when you talk about these important little miracles, to you might be little, it's not really little, but when you talk about it through the knowledge that you have, it really blesses the Lord. I promise you that. So if you're listening and you don't know the Lord, make Him Lord over your life right now, because He's knocking on the door of your heart. Just repent for your sins and ask Him in. Just be sure your relation with Jesus is intimate and not just some head knowledge. And of course, how do you know for sure? Well, if Jesus is your betrothed one, you will have a desire to know Him more, with a passion to be in His Word and be in His presence. John 1 says He is the Word, so more Word, more Jesus. It's that simple. Leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.